Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
We are here.
Yes.
It's officially spring.
Is it?
It is. Yes.
Really?
Don't say it like that.
Is it?
We are officially in the spring solstice has come. Mm. It is officially spring season, regardless of how it feels to you.
So what'd you leave on the other side of the solstice?
Are you supposed to do that? I didn't know you're supposed to leave something on the other side of the solstice because it's coming back.
No. No. You're supposed to leave stuff.
What'd you leave? Have you ever left anything on the other
side? Yeah, I left stuff on this time.
Okay.
Yeah, I left ineffectiveness.
Ineffectiveness?
Mm-hmm.
You were ineffective. You felt like you were ineffective.
My birthday kind of messed me up. I was on birthday mode for a little while.
How did
I was on birthday vacation mode. I couldn't focus, so I'm focused again.
You had an extended holiday. An extended birthday holiday.
Yeah, mental holiday. So yeah. Now I'm back in the game. I'm working long hours again.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about
striving.
That.
Striving.
I do think in order to stay focused, you have to have mental holidays, right? Yeah. So I don't think you were like down bad or anything. I think that you were taking...
No, I was down bad.
You were taking the rest.
Was I?
And recovering the way that you needed to be able to come back, bounce back,
yeah.
And be all that you know to be. Because you have a habit of like just wearing yourself out and... You're just bad. Like you're working, but it's still down bad. So yeah. You needed that time.
Well, I'm back.
You're back.
Your boy is back. Okay. Your hardworking business partner is back.
Shout out to that then.
Back.
Thank you for the solstice for bringing Alan back.
Yeah, I just need the weather to participate as well.
Here's the thing, because once the weather starts to participate, you're gonna be back gone.
Yeah.
So I feel like if it starts to get warm and it's nice outside,
energized.
Okay.
Because I know my complexion's coming back,
too. Oh, here we go.
You see what I'm saying?
And now it's time to focus.
Yeah.
Now it is time to focus. We've talked about this before. I'm not going to harp on it.
What are your spring plans, by the way? What do you have working?
You don't want me to focus on the fact that you don't embrace your skin tone? It's fine. I embrace it. I embrace mine.
Yeah.
And well, it is what it is.
They're similar. So
they're not similar. They're not
embraced.
Similar. They're not in the same family in any category. But my spring plans... some fun. I'm going on a hiking trip this week.
All right.
Never been hiking before.
More black folks need to hike.
And so I decided to go deep into Sedona, Arizona to hike for the first time. So hopefully I make it back. I will say this, though.
Dang. Is it dangerous?
Who knows? There's a reason why black people don't hike. I imagine it's not.
I think black people do hike.
Yeah, a lot in mass.
Well, you're starting a trend.
I don't want to start the trend. But yeah, I'm doing multiple hours of hiking every day.
That's great.
So is it? Hopefully.
For you? I mean, look, you signed up for it, so it's great.
The one thing I will say, though, my hiking outfits are so fire.
Mm.
I am bringing a lot of flyness to these mountains and canyons.
Well, I guess it's like, do you even need to bother hiking? Like the outfit might be... Might be what is worth right
now.
I want
to put it to work. I need to put it to work because I'm not using these outfits in any other capacity. So I'm gonna be out there hiked up with my fly outfit on.
Okay, all right.
So pray for me, y'all.
Yeah.
In my hiking, I have one day where I'm hiking at night for 3 hours.
I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. I have no idea what's happening. Where's my business partner?
I'm doing a night hike.
Not solo.
No, all of my hikes are guided. I have a guide who is taking me through all
these
hikes. I was
going to say, you sound like food right now.
So I'm doing a night hike, and that is to see, there's supposedly a place where you can see the Milky Way or something, but you have to hike up to it.
I've seen plenty of Milky Ways, okay, on Halloween night.
And then I'm doing a 6-hour hike through the Antelope Canyons, the upper and lower level of the Antelope Canyons. I hear there's a little bit of climbing involved in that hike. So there's a lot. There's a lot going on. Pray for me, y'all. Hopefully I make it back. But if I get lost.
That was the prayer.
No. if I'm lost, just look for the fly outfits. If I'm left out in these woods, just know, like, she's not out there in camouflage. Like, I got looks and colors, and that's how y'all will be able to locate me.
Yeah.
Also, I keep my find my iPhone. beep my AirPods, and that's how y'all will find me.
Okay.
I'm going out there with AirPods.
Tweet us your username and password for your Apple login, and then we'll do that. We'll do exactly that. Thank you.
No, but hopefully I'm looking forward to it. It's something different, and I think I needed it. So I'm excited about it, but that's not what we're talking about.
No.
We're not talking about any of those things. Not the spring solstice, not me hiking through Sedona. But we are talking about robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, and the backstory here is that some people are slipping right now and going through a financial crisis, and we want to talk about how to get through it. So I had a friend who recently reached out to me, and she quit her job to become an entrepreneur, and I think that's a great thing to do. But it doesn't always transition quickly.
And smoothly.
Yeah, she's going through that. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs have done that, gone through a little bit of a rough patch. And she was just asking me some questions like, hey, I've got no unemployment coming in. My savings are getting tight. And I'm trying to figure out, do I pay this or pay that? And when you're at that point, you kind of need to plan. And so we'll talk about it.
And we're going to talk about that. And to Alan's point, I think it's something that happens to entrepreneurs often. It definitely happened for both of us. But just people who are not entrepreneurs, who are transitioning jobs. You know, we hear about these massive tech layoffs that are happening.
Yeah.
Just people who end up in situations that they never expected. It is not uncommon to find yourself a little bit more broke than you expected, living paycheck to paycheck, struggling to get by, not knowing what to pay and what not to pay. The goal of today's conversation not only is to talk you through it and give you the best advice in those circumstances, but also for you to know that it's temporary.
Facts.
Right? It's 100% temporary. We do not embrace being broke like as just a lifelong status.
No.
That's not something that we're about. You wouldn't be listening to this podcast if you were about that. But we do know that life happens. Finances happen. Unexpected circumstances happen.
Yeah.
And so we end up down.
How about this?
Okay.
Broke but not broken.
Okay. Oh, okay, Alan.
How about that?
Broke but not broken.
Yeah.
All right.
It's temporary.
It is temporary. And we have to believe that you know that, or you would not be a consistent listener of the Momentum Advisors, because we're talking about wealth building.
That's a fact.
You know what I mean? We're talking about growth and legacy and all the things that are well beyond being broke.
That's a fact.
But again, we also know that life happens, and it's happened to both of us. And so we've got some advice to help you get through it.
And can we start with some stats, Tiffany? I feel like the stats might set the stage today.
Yeah. So first things first, 76% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck right now.
That's 3/4 of Americans.
Facts. And just one event could cause financial ruin. So let me just put this into perspective, right? Like, we're all on social media. We got all these friends, neighbors, people that we see all the time. Everybody's winning. Everybody's balling. Everybody's rich. Everybody's on these elaborate vacations with these beautiful homes and beautiful cars and, you know, living this wonderful life. Somebody's lying.
Yeah.
If 76% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, honestly, I wish we were more honest about that.
Yeah.
Right? If people were more honest about their situation, I think now it's not about having people in your business. It's more about working together and being honest with each other so that we can all help each other out of the situation. You know what I mean? You don't want to leave anybody behind. But if you don't know that someone else is going through the same thing that you're going through, you don't think to maybe share your resources or maybe to work together or pull each other up. I just think if we were a lot more honest about what's really going on in our finances, what's really going on in our household, instead of feeling like we have to stunt all the time, we probably get out of our situations a lot faster.
Yeah. Yeah. 64% of Americans would struggle to meet a $400 emergency. They'd have to use credit cards.
Yeah.
Or ask for a loan.
That's a lot of people.
400 is not a lot.
Yeah, but 64% of Americans, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that. 29% of Americans don't save any of their paycheck.
Okay.
29%.
Y'all just wow.
Just,
I mean, I'm a hope most of that is like 24 and under.
Listen, they're Americans.
Matter of fact,
are they Americans?
16 and under. Those are the Americans that we're talking about.
Well, come on. There's been a time in your life where you weren't saving money.
100%. 100%. I need every dollar.
I've been there.
Listen, and it doesn't apply right now, so I'm going to say it right now. I'm not cinching on myself because it doesn't apply right now. But there was a period of time where I was not saving any money or paying any taxes.
Oh, Lord.
It doesn't apply right now.
You're riding dirty.
Listen,
dirty.
Y'all been there. For any entrepreneur, listen, there's a point in time when you are an emerging entrepreneur and you feel like every dollar that I made is mine. And I don't know I, R, or S. And I need to spend this money.
Mm. Yeah, no, I've been there.
Yeah, so it definitely happens.
My taxes were not being filed for a couple. Let's just leave it there.
Listen, we're better now, okay? Yeah. We're on the right side of the law, for sure. But we say that to say, and again, in all these stats that we're sharing, and I'm going to continue to reiterate this throughout the entire podcast episode, we've all been there. Mm-hmm. We are not shaming. We're just letting you know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And sometimes people think it's because you don't make a lot of money, but 18% of people who make six figures are living paycheck to paycheck.
That's a fact, because expenses are another thing. We've got all types of bills, whether it's just regular household bills, medical bills. You don't know if we're taking care of family members. You don't know if we're trying to catch up from back debt and do the right thing. So there's a lot of things. Expenses versus income are two totally different things. 21% of U.S. adults have no emergency savings.
Yeah, none.
So you talked about that $400 earlier. I don't got none of that.
Yeah.
Like, I need to make sure this Subway ticket swipes. Like, I can't, we can't take, I need the eggs to last, the milk can't go bad, everything's got to work out.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And every household in the United States with a credit card carries an average of $8,400 in credit card debt.
That's
like, on average, right? So we're not saying that every household in America has credit card debt, but the average amount of credit card debt per U.S. household is $8,400. That's a meaningful amount.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, one thing that I think that people need to do right now, if you can afford to, is just stop using the credit cards.
Chill.
Like, I don't care about points. I don't care about rewards.
People love to throw that out there. Somebody, travel rewards.
Somebody told me the
other day. You don't even travel. What you talking about travel rewards?
Somebody
for?
Told me the other day, if there's fraud, your credit card is more likely to be dealt with quickly. I'm like, no, your debit card will get dealt with too.
A fact. Yeah, that's...
reported. We did a whole show on that when, you know, when the banking industry stole my wallet.
When Alan dropped his wallet at the bagel shop. Because that's really what happened. That's ultimately what happened.
Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons why you can go broke. And so some of these stats kind of illustrate the fact that most Americans are really like a paycheck away from being broke.
100%.
But other things that could happen, it could be a loss of a job.
Yeah.
It could be your cost of living went up for some specific family reason.
But not even for a specific family reason. Like, the cost of living has creeped up. Right? And it is happening, whether it's gas, eggs, like, we have all these little things that we're so used to having. So a lot of times people think it's like lifestyle inflation. Like, oh, I'm starting to ball out now. I'm starting to do more. I got a fancier car.
All of a sudden you got on cashmere socks. Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
First of all, I've always had cashmere socks.
Oh, you do?
Alan's coming for me because I have my cashmere socks right now.
Wow.
But when I wear socks, they're cashmere. Just know that.
First of all, this is not the outfit to be wearing on this show. On budgeting while broke, you can't come in here with cashmere socks.
You weren't supposed to say anything.
Oh my God.
Is the point.
Like, first of all, I have on a ripped t-shirt right now.
I do too.
Okay.
I do too.
But we're not talking about
mine,
that.
Mine was intentionally ripped, but okay. That's not the point. But no, it's not even lifestyle inflation. It's a lot of people doing the same exact things that they've always done. It just costs more money now.
Yeah.
Everything costs more money now.
Yeah.
And so the cost of living has creeped up. You're still making the same money, still paying the same taxes. You know what I mean? But the cost of living is more. Some people have gone through layoffs. We're hearing about that a lot. Alan and I, we both have a lot of friends who work in the tech space.
Yeah.
With Meta and all these companies, they're not laying off a couple hundred people. They're laying off thousands and thousands of people quarterly.
And Meta's like, look, it don't even matter if you're good at your job.
Word.
Like,
we're
picking departments and we're taking numbers.
Yeah, we're just streamlining. We're just cutting it back. For some people, you had a bonus or some sort of promotion you were expecting and it didn't happen, right? Maybe the company, they didn't lay you off, but they didn't lift you up. And so, you know, whatever you were used to getting or whatever you were expecting, it didn't come your way and you had already spent that money.
Somebody got divorced.
Listen.
Divorces can be...
depends on what side of the divorce you're on.
Yeah, but okay? It could be... but,
it might have been... sorry, listen, it might be a payday.
Yeah, if you divorce Michael Jordan, yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, not Michael Jordan, because Juanita came up.
Yeah, she got $180 million
come
off
on,
that
Juanita.
Divorce.
What's Miss Bezos?
Oh,
out here, Mackenzie Scott.
Scott, yeah, she got billions.
Balling.
Yeah.
So it depends.
That's true, but could on average... It could be a financial hardship.
It could be a financial
divorce
hardship.
On either side, really.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Even if it's just in the short run while you're still paying legal fees and all that.
Regardless of how you come out, ultimately, you might not have access to your funds for a while.
Yeah.
You might be locked up in legal fees, figuring out child support, and you might just be weighted disproportionately than what you're used to until things get settled out.
Yeah.
Other things are just accidents, like whether it's a medical accident, a car accident, something goes with the house. You got to put a new roof on the house. And maybe you've been saving. Maybe you've been doing all the things.
We got to knock on wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want any of that stuff to happen to our listeners.
We don't want any of it to happen to our listeners, but it happens to everybody. Right. That's why they're called accidents.
Yeah.
But when those things happen, even when you're saving, when you're doing all the right things, guess what? You need that money. right? You have to tap into that money. And so now you not only have exhausted your savings, but you probably spent some money, put some money on a credit card that you didn't have, and now you have to pay that down. And now you find yourself living paycheck to paycheck essentially overnight.
Yeah. So we've both been in situations where we've been really trying to figure out a way to make sure that the bills got paid.
I wasn't trying to figure out how the bills got paid. I'm just going to be honest. So, okay, Alan is case study A, and I'm case study B.
Okay.
All right. And so just keep that same energy throughout the podcast, because I was not trying to figure out. I was trying to survive, right? There was no, I could care less about these bill collectors because I needed to eat. I needed to, like, survive the night. And so the last thing I was thinking about was paying these bills. The only bill, there were two bills that I genuinely cared about. One was my cell phone bill, and the other was my gym membership.
Okay.
Right. And primarily because for those who have followed the podcast from the beginning, I went through a period of homelessness and my gym membership allowed me to take a shower every day. And my phone allowed me to become an entrepreneur and do some business.
Wow.
That was kind of it. You know what I mean? I didn't have money for gas or for food. So I kind of stayed in the same spot as much as I could. I damn sure wasn't worried about no bill collectors.
Yeah. Okay. That's a slightly different case.
Different case, but I was trying to figure out how to get my head above water, how to get stable again.
Yeah.
Then the bill collectors came.
Okay. All right. So this first bit of advice then is for case study B.
Okay. For Alan, who was worried about how to cover his bills.
So I guess mine's for case study B, where, you know, money's just a little tight.
Okay.
And
you're not a struggle, but you know.
No, it's struggling. No, it's a struggle, but things are a little tight.
Streamline. You got to.
So the first thing you got to really do is you got to review your spending. You got to review where money's coming in and which expenses are the most necessary. Like you talked about cell phone and car. For a lot of other people, it might be food and housing.
Yeah, 100%, right? But, and so I think a lot of people, the first thing that you need to ask yourself, you know how much you get paid, right? Ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, like if you received an offer letter, if you make an hourly wage, you don't actually know how much comes into your house on a weekly or monthly basis, especially, and I find this happens to people often, people who get paid biweekly, right? Every once in a while, probably 2 to 3 times a year, you have a month where you got paid 3 times.
Yeah.
You think that's how much you make every month.
Yeah, it's not.
That's not how much make every month. And so you have one balling ass month and you're like, I got money left over. I'm out here. I went to the club. I went to the game. I can't wait to do it again next month. Next month, you're back to 2 checks. Right. And so you are not actually paying attention to how much money is coming in to your household. And therefore, you're just spending based on a feeling.
Yeah, that's a fact. But for somebody, there's like no money coming in. Or it's just not enough. Right. So it might be unemployment. Unemployment is a fraction of what people make.
Yes, I've been there.
Or if you quit and you're not eligible for unemployment.
Don't do that.
There's no income coming
in.
Hey,
listeners.
Oh, it happens.
Quitting. Don't just be jumping off the reservation.
A lot of folks, we just finished the great resignation. Yeah. I'll say great migration. We just finished the great resignation.
But that's when they were giving out all types of PPP loans and everything else.
I know, but imagine you quit your job to get another job and the other job folded.
Yeah, we talked about that.
You know, so you might be in a tight spot.
Okay.
So the essentials, you know, again. And then you got to think about, okay, if I'm only focusing on the essentials, and what am I cutting out? Like, you got to be able to cut out some stuff. Because notice you didn't talk about Netflix.
No.
You didn't talk about, right? There's other stuff.
I needed the TV for some Netflix.
But you could have watched Netflix on your phone, I suppose. You ain't having Netflix.
No.
Maybe you were borrowing Netflix. That's why you didn't talk about that.
Netflix wasn't popping like that. It was, but the last thing I was thinking about was Netflix.
Okay. But I'm saying review your budget and see what is absolutely not essential and just cut it.
In previous episodes, we've talked about the noodle budget.
Yeah.
Right? How much does it cost you to live if you're just eating ramen noodles? There's no frills, right? Because sometimes, and that's what we're talking about right now, there's a period of life where there's no frills. Ain't no movie tickets, ain't no Netflix, ain't no lip gloss, ain't no nails.
Yeah.
Okay? No eyelashes.
You're just putting water in your hair.
But what does that look like? What's that number that you will have to live with temporarily to get by if there's no frills at all?
Yeah.
So when you think about that noodle budget, right? Like for Alan, right? In his case study, you had a family, right?
Yeah,
and so you can't just be out here like just risking it all. You need lights. You need a home. You need a car. You need food for everybody. you also need school tuition, yeah. right? Like there's a lot that you need. And so it's different for everybody. The number literally is different for everybody based on their circumstance, but you should just know what it is, yeah. right? The hope is that you never have to survive off of that. But if you do, you will know it in advance and you will know how to make sure you have that money. And if there's a deficit, you can know what that is also.
Facts.
Right? So stick with us. We are talking about robbing Peter to pay Paul, broke but not broken.
Ooh.
Okay? I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Blumen.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. So we're back.
Yes.
We're talking about robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been there. We've all had a broke season. And
yeah.
honestly, I need you to identify that it's a season.
Yeah.
Now, if you embrace it as your life status, it will be that, right? But I have to believe that you do not listen to two wealth management advisors on a regular basis because you believe that your forever status is being broke.
No, not at all.
Right? But we also understand that life happens. And so when that happens, when life is lifing, you sometimes end up down bad financially. And so we are giving you strategies how to survive that until your day comes.
Yeah. So we were talking earlier about the noodle budget, which
is really
like the trimmed down version of your life financially.
I have a confession.
Okay.
Now, even on my worst day, I ain't never eat ramen noodles. Like, yeah.
It's just not in your palate.
It's not in my palate.
That's
I don't
all.
Think there's anything wrong with it. I actually don't really eat noodles of any kind.
So what were you eating when you were at your worst financial position?
Okay. So I had a very limited budget. So I had $25 a week for food
okay.
and gas.
Sheesh. Okay.
Yeah. So honestly, this is going to sound crazy. I really got into eating a lot of fruit, right? So fruit was really inexpensive. I went to like a farmer's market or at the time I was in the South. So like you can come up on a farm, you can come up on somebody like just kind of giving away fruit. And so I ate a ton of apples and clementines. I could always come up on clementines. And on my worst day, the gas station that I used to go to regularly, they would sell 3 clementines for a dollar. And so the cuties,
yeah.
That would be a really like great way for me to get over. But it was a lot of fruits and vegetables because when you're not going, especially when you're not going to like a big grocery store, you can come up on a lot of fruit for the low. Farmers markets again, just locals. It's kind of easier to come by inexpensive fruit.
Yeah. But one thing that you didn't say is you were not out here buying fast food. You weren't going to restaurants.
There was no restaurants.
Yeah. So part of this noodle budget is to stretch how much food you get on a limited amount of money.
Yeah.
For sure. Fruits and vegetables. And what's funny, it's a lot more affordable to eat better.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. And people will tell you like it's too expensive to eat healthy. Yes. If you're going to Whole Foods, yeah, it can be a bit expensive. But I'm sure you have local farmers markets where honestly, food of all kinds could not be less expensive.
Yeah. So fruits and vegetables, inexpensive. Beans and rice, inexpensive. And things you can cook, inexpensive. If you got to make yourself some homemade pancakes or something like that, maybe the syrup costs a little bit, but the flour is very inexpensive.
First of all, you don't even need no syrup. I've never put syrup on pancakes in my life. Y'all don't need no syrup.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Frozen vegetables, inexpensive. Lentils, tons of nutrition on lentils. Mushrooms, oats, peanut butter. Peanut butter is a great one.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have none of that. I didn't want any of that.
Yeah,
peanut butter. We're also not asking you to eat stuff you don't eat.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, don't start eating this stuff.
I don't eat really peanut butter unless it's in a Reese's, so.
Yeah, but a peanut butter and jelly sandwich can go a long way. That's all I'm trying to say.
Definitely not doing that.
Yeah.
I don't even like sandwiches.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tiffany doesn't like sandwiches.
And I definitely don't like, you're not going to put peanut butter and jelly together. So.
Figure out what makes sense for you, but like. Food-wise, we don't have to spend as much money as we spend on food. And sometimes you can eat a little bit better and save some money.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on Alan. Alan came for y'all's food. Now I got to come for your housing.
Okay.
Okay. Are there ways for you to save on what is probably your largest expense, housing? Can you negotiate your rent, right? If you're renting an apartment, can you downsize from a one-bedroom to a studio?
I was about to say, what does this look like to negotiate your rent? Like, hey, landlord, I ain't got it, man. Y'all need to cut this rent. The rent is too damn high.
Yeah, no, it is being willing to, you know, move into a different apartment, right? In the same complex so that you don't have to come up with a new down payment or deposit. But if you have a one-bedroom, is there a studio available? If you have a one-bedroom on a high floor, right, and you're paying more because you have a nice view, can you come down a couple of floors? What's open and what's available? But negotiating your rent, just asking the question. I think that's what that looks like. Or
moving into the hood, for example.
Oh, Okay.
Yeah, that'd be something to consider if it comes down to it.
I wasn't gonna
go directly into that.
I wasn't gonna say that. What I was going to say is, you may know that you cannot afford to stay in an apartment, in your own apartment at all. And so maybe it's just talking to your landlord or your leasing office about what will it take for you to let me out of my lease with the least amount of fines and penalties, right? Because it costs them money to evict you.
Yeah.
And so maybe if you're more upfront, like, let's not go through the legal process. Will you let me out of my lease? I've fallen on hard times. And just having an upfront conversation, that may help. And then instead of Alan's offer to move into the hood, maybe you move in with someone else. Maybe you just rent a room for a period of time.
Yeah.
Maybe you, again, get a roommate. You ask somebody if you can stay in their basement. Let me tell you something. As an adult, I know these are all things that none of us ever want to do. You never want to give your privacy, right? And just your space. But if we know that it's temporary, if you know it's just to get you over a hump and you are working towards getting not even back to where you were, but better, I guarantee it'll be worth making those decisions in the short run.
Maybe you're dating somebody. Get what? Serious and see what? About moving in.
First of all, okay. You brought us here, so I'm gonna if you don't
move in with them. Okay.
If you are dating someone, do not move in with them just because you don't have nowhere to go. Uh-huh. And do not let her or him don't offer, ladies. Cause I don't think men do that. I don't think men offer broke girls to come and stay with them. I feel like women, because we have a heart and we see the potential in you, will let you move in with us.
Mm.
Stop doing that. That's how you get sexually transmitted debt. Stop doing that. Everybody's got to figure their own thing out. You could be supportive. Hook a meal up. Do a meal prep. You can support in a variety of different ways. Do not let that person move in with you just because they're down bad. Y'all ain't even been together long enough.
Y'all heard the advice from the expert here. Okay? Me.
You are not the expert.
Move in with them.
Do not move in with them. Because now you're sad and broke. Like, don't do that.
Yeah. Okay. All right, move in with your family, maybe. Like you said, maybe a basement.
Go with them. I'm not doing it. Listen, sirs, ma'ams, men's out there. men's out there. If you are broke, I'm not saying you shouldn't date, right? I think everybody should spend time with people. There's so many inexpensive and free dates to go on. You should be finding and pursuing love in all ways at all times under all financial circumstances.
Yes.
But if you're dating Tiffany Hawkins, and your financial situation isn't the best, that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. I'm so cool with that. I don't have any issue with that.
Okay.
But
you're encouraging these dudes right now. They need to hear this. Go on.
What did Cardi B say?
Broke dudes deserve plenty of love. I never even knew what that lyric was. And when I found out, I was very hurt and offended.
Alan was singing that loud of that song, not knowing what she was saying. But I just think that if you are dating someone and you're not in the best financial situation, if you are getting serious, I think you should say something. That's all I was saying. That's the only road that I was going down, is that you should have the conversation that, hey, I'm not exactly where I want to be financially yet. And I'm telling you because I feel strongly about you and I want us to continue to grow.
And I want you to continue to pay for everything as much
but
as possible.
No, but I'm on my own journey, right? So what that does is it allows for everybody to set realistic expectations. Because if Shorty thought y'all were going to Bermuda for spring break, and now she knows like, oh, we going to be around this house. We're going to be at the park. Like, it allows people to set realistic expectations out of the person that they're dating and allows them the support that they need to get out of that situation.
All right. So real question. We're way off topic right now. We're way off the
news. Let's do it.
All right. So you're dating the dude.
Ew.
You like him.
Ooh.
He's a little broke. And y'all were planning to go to Bermuda. He doesn't have the money to go now. So do you go without him?
Here's the thing. Let's start at the top.
Do you sponsor him?
Let's start at the top.
Okay.
I don't want to go to Bermuda.
But hold on. Okay.
We're not going to Bermuda. Okay. I don't want to go there. That's not an option for me. So the moment you tell me we're not going, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
So, but if we're going somewhere, I want to go.
Somewhere you want to go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so did he ask me like, hey, we should do a trip? Or
y'all were planning it. I don't know who asked who, but y'all were planning to go.
If he, because it matters to me if I ask,
let's say he asked.
He asked, like, let me take you to somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And now you're excited. You're looking forward to going to
somewhere.
I got
outfits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then how far out do I find out he can't afford it?
3 months.
Oh, shit. I ain't really tied in. 3 months out?
3 weeks. I don't know.
I thought it was like 7 days out.
Just, are you going to go without him or are you going to sponsor him? That's the question.
I'm not going without him. I might not go. We might not go. We might pivot.
That's the correct answer.
But I'm not going to go without him.
Ding, 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 ding. Very nice.
Now, yeah, I'm not going to go without him. I really like him. I really like him.
You like him good enough.
Is it good enough? Ain't going to get it. Good enough, right. Ain't going to get it. If I like him a lot, I'm definitely not going without him. We might pivot. I'm only sponsoring. So here's what I've thought about in my head. I don't know how we got here, y'all, but we're here now, and we're family, so y'all are going to take it. If you have any thoughts about it, hit us up at Momentum Advice.
On Twitter.
I have thought about this, right? If I'm dating someone who we're not in a, like, our financial situations are severely different.
Okay.
How do we travel together? Because travel is very important to me. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want us to just decide that we're not traveling together.
You're in first class, he's in the back.
I wouldn't do that, right? So
he's in a jump seat.
My thoughts, I've thought about this, how we would still have a travel life together.
Okay.
I would pay for the accommodations.
Okay.
We would each pay for our individual flights.
Okay.
And he would pay for our activities once we got there.
Okay. Now, what if his activity budget is extremely limited?
That's on you, though. Like, you got to sort that out. If you got a limited activity budget, then you got to find the low, low activities.
So night one, we're going to walk around this part of town. Then we're going to walk around this part of town. Then we're going to walk around this other part of town.
That's on you. I am taking accommodations because I'm an accommodation snob.
Okay.
So I can't take that L. That's not an L I'm willing to take.
Okay.
I cannot operate within your budget on that. So let me just cover that. And then you find the activities that you can afford once we get there.
Okay. And you fix your face and act like you're enjoying it. That's it. That's what you do. You will do that. All right. So other advice. So you're broke. We already talked about it's temporary. You've already negotiated your rent situation. You got to manage your bank account well. Like, you got to keep some cash on you. You don't want some unexpected debit to hit, and now you're in a negative balance.
So,
and that's where all your money is.
What I used to do back in the day is, once I knew it was getting bleaker, this is before I got homeless, right? So, like, I still had a little bit of money floating. Mm-hmm. But when I knew something crazy was about to happen, or I was going to try to go to dinner and not have the money, I would take, like, $100 out of the bank.
Yeah, take the cash out.
Right. I'm going to run a transaction. The transaction's probably going to go through just because I got goodwill with Bank of America.
Oh, no.
But by tomorrow morning, I'm going to be down bad.
Oh, no.
Okay. And so, but I at least got some money on me to get gas and food to get me through the week.
Yeah. Hey, it worked. Yeah. You're here.
I'm here.
To tell the story.
Damn.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bank of America.
It's also good to have multiple bank accounts, because you might have the one account where your stuff gets debited and overdrawn, and the other account where you don't have anything debiting that account.
Good point. Good point.
Just like we talked about before, when your banks fail, you need multiple accounts. Well, what if you fail?
What if you fail? You definitely need other options. And the other options, I want to make sure that we're highlighting, that we're talking about, are cash, not credit cards, right? Yeah. Because I know credit cards are beautiful for a lot of people, and they save people in the short term. They save you in specific situations, but inevitably, they are taking wealth from you. It's a fact. Right. Especially if you're in a position where you can't pay it off, which you clearly are. If you need that credit card, it will take wealth from you. It will take you a lot longer to dig yourself out and into a better situation when you're relying on credit cards.
Yeah. Do not take cash advances from your credit cards.
A word.
Yeah. That's a very, very bad thing to do. Other things you can do is do some things yourself. Mm-hmm. So you might be used to getting your nails done. You might need to do your own nails. You might be used to taking your car to get oil change. If you know how to do it, you might need to do it yourself.
I'm just saying,
figure out what are some of the things. It might be a home repair. It might be cleaning up your own home. It might be washing your own clothes versus taking it to the cleaners. There's a lot of things that you can do on your own that maybe you've gotten accustomed to having other people do for you.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point, right? Like, we get adjusted into our lifestyle habits, and we don't even think or recognize how we could maybe do without them temporarily, to your point. And so I think about, for people who have a landscaper, like someone who's mowing their lawn, you got kids, or you can get out there and mow your lawn. To Alan's point, you could do your own nails. Alan cuts his own hair. I don't know what that's about.
I've never gone to the barber. Yeah. I've gone twice in my whole life.
But there's a lot of things that you can do. To your point, dry cleaner. Learn how to iron, bro.
Yeah.
Just get that iron. I know. I hate men's shirts. I would hate to see what men's shirts look like.
With us ironing them?
With y'all ironing.
Oh, I'm an expert ironer.
Are you?
Yeah. I used to have to do my dad's shirts when I was a kid. So,
okay.
So I know how to
iron. Stop going to the dry cleaner, because you definitely use a dry cleaner.
Well, slow down, okay?
Get to ironing.
Slow down, okay? Relax. Well, for one, I dry clean at our dry cleaner where I don't really have to pay
the price. That's a lie. So. Because when we're at home, you go to your local dry cleaner.
Do I? Or do I save up all my dry cleaning and bring it to the store?
That is true.
Come for the low.
That is a fact.
All right. Other stuff you should do, negotiate. Like, don't just let your bills pile up without reaching out to them and explaining what's going on. Even if it's your credit card, like, you can call them and tell them, look, I'm in a situation of hardship. Can we work something out?
Honestly, this is really hard for people to do because you don't respect these people, first of all. Like, you know they're not invested in you. They talk to you crazy. They're calling your phone all the time. And so you are avoiding them because you're ashamed of having the conversation. But it is probably, like, the biggest help you could have. There are programs in place. You can let them know. Oftentimes, just them knowing in advance, I ain't getting paid this month. It's not happening this month. Or they're going through a difficult situation. They are willing to work with you. They will stop calling your phone. For a lot of people, there's just anxiety. It's anxiety around seeing bill collectors call all the time. And you can get them to stop by having the conversation around what's going on with you. And again, they will put a program in place. Now, all of them aren't, like, wonderful and lovely, but say if you can get half of your bill collectors to leave you alone for a little while, mm-hmm. or to defer payments for 3 or 6 months while you figure it out, that'll just give you some room to breathe so you can pivot and focus on some other things so you can get in a better place. But at some point, it is in your best interest to pick up the phone, call these bill collectors, whether it's your landlord, cable, rent, cell phone, whatever, just regular loan, whatever it is, medical bills, and let them know what's going on and see what can be worked out in your favor.
Yeah. And people are reasonable, I find. You know, the big companies probably less so. But we've had a lot of experiences, even in business, where we've been able to negotiate with landlords. Or imagine, like, during COVID, like, we were, like, on the phone with all of our landlords trying to come up with a new payment plan to get us through this pandemic. You might be going through the same thing in your personal life, and you just have to talk. I think the issue is if you're quiet, they assume the worst, and you can ruin your credit. You don't want to come out of this with bad credit also, if you can avoid it.
We had a client where they had gotten to some really big, like, kind of commercial contracts when they started their business. And it was very clear, probably like 3 to 6 months in, that the business wasn't going to be as sustainable as they thought. And so they had bought all this office space and equipment and big, you know, cable packages and all these things. And they were locked in for like 2 or 3 years. They were committed for like 2 or 3 years. And we realized they were never going to use any of those services. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of talking, but we were able to get them out of a lot of those contracts, a lot of those commitments, pay a fraction of what they were trying to hold them to task for by just being honest, reaching out to them, letting them know what we were capable of. And it saved them easily hundreds of thousands of dollars that they were going to owe.
Yeah, that's a fact. There's a lot of things you can negotiate with your credit card company on. Like, for example, you need to know when your due dates are. So make sure you're talking to them before your due date. Don't wait till after the payment was due and try to negotiate. But maybe you can ask for an extension or a lower payment. Maybe they can drop the minimum payment for a little while.
Maybe it's interest only for a little while.
Yeah, maybe they could reduce your interest rate.
Not with Jerome out here doing the most.
They might. If you're at 39%, they might be able to give you 29%. Just what I'm saying is you don't know until you ask, for sure. Other things you should do, don't worry about saving money right now.
Seriously, I know we talked about it earlier. We gave all those stats, but we gave all those stats so that you were clear. If you are not in a position to save right now, you are not alone. If you are just trying to survive, pay these bills, you're on your noodle budget, or you're trying to not get to your noodle budget, it is completely okay to not save. And what that may also look like, because I've been in this situation before, that may look like cutting off your 401k contributions.
Just for a little while.
Just for a little while. Please don't make this a permanent thing. I've been in a situation in the past where I've done that and it made a world of difference just to have a little bit more money coming to me for a couple of months. It was very, very helpful. So to Alan's point, don't focus on savings. Like, you're just trying to get by. You're trying to come up with a strategy. You're trying to figure things out. And that may look like going to HR and cutting those 401k or retirement contributions for a very specific period of time.
If your option is, I can stop doing the 401k, but it prevents me from getting money being added onto my credit card debt at 40% interest rate, that's a better trade.
Yeah.
It's a better trade. So don't beat yourself up that maybe right now you just can't afford to save like you normally would like to save.
Yeah. The next one I'm going to save for after the break because it's one of my favorites. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
So we are back?
Yes.
Robbing Peter to PayPal?
Mm-hmm.
Broke but not broken.
Sure enough.
Okay. Broke but still bad and bougie.
Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Does it?
Yeah. After many mornings.
I was going to say.
It might be a couple months.
Next morning, but a couple mornings later.
Might be 6 months from now morning.
Yes, lots of mornings.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you'll get through it.
You will get through it, honestly. And this episode may not even apply to you. You may have never been in this space. You may have already gotten through this space. But I guarantee you, you probably know somebody who's going through this right now. Mm-hmm. They might not have admitted it to you. But pass this information along. Seriously, I do not want anybody to feel bad about being in a financially low situation. Just understand that there are ways to get through it. There are decisions that you have to make. And you cannot give up on yourself and understanding that this is not your permanent situation.
Facts. Because you are down, but not out.
Okay.
You are bent, but not bowed.
What?
You're bent, but not broken.
I don't.
Okay? You are struggling, but not down for the count.
I don't like these. I was expecting more from you, to be honest with you. I thought you were going to give me something good.
Okay. Hold on. Life has swung.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
See?
Lemonade, you want to make lemons out of?
Okay.
You want to make lemonade out of lemons?
Making lemonade out of lemons.
Big shout out to Beyonce.
Is it? Because she didn't create lemonade. Let's start there. So.
Okay. Tambourine.
Tambourine.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Chris Rock.
Oh, because.
Sometimes you got to play the tambourine.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. I was thinking of Eve. She had a song called Tambourine.
Get your tambourine on. Okay. We digress.
We definitely did. Okay. So.
Y'all know me.
If y'all don't know me, y'all knew this one was coming.
Okay.
Seek out new sources of income.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you are in a bad financial situation, if not one thing is clear, you need more money, one way or the other. And more money does not look like a one-time windfall of money, because that's not going to solve the larger problem. You need to bring in more money, whether it's you need to get a new job, you need to make more money, whatever it is. But there's a lot of ways that you have to start to explore it. You're not going to get out of the situation that you're in making the exact same money that you're currently making.
Thanks.
Right. And so that can look like, again, getting a better job. Is it time to dust off that resume and start getting out into the job market to see what's available? It could look like staying at your current job. You like where you are. You think that they appreciate you. It's time to ask for some more money. Or go to HR and see what other positions are available. Is there something out there that you can transition to that's higher up, a promotion, ask for a review? Somebody at Momentum recently just went through their review and very much deserved a promotion, and we gladly gave it to them.
Yeah, they almost got it.
They got it.
Nah, they got it.
But you may need to go to HR and say, listen, I'm ready to advance. I've been in this role for a period of time, or I know my worth. I see my peers and I know I can bring a lot more to the table, and I'm ready to make more money and take on more responsibility. So that's an option. You might need to get a side gig.
Word.
Right? And a
Nothing
side
wrong
gig
with that.
Looks like a lot of different things. So for people who are like, listen, I don't have time to do anything else. You probably are doing plenty of things for free right now. Mm-hmm. Right? Whether that's cooking for family and friends, whether that's helping out on people's cars or helping your parents out with their landscaping. You probably do a ton of things that you could start to ask people to pay for. Not your family members, but you can offer as a service to others.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, sometimes it's a matter of taking stock of what skills you have and using them, even if that's not the skill you planned on using. Like my friend in particular, her skill is in real estate. But I happen to know that she's good at doing hair. Okay, she wants to be a real estate entrepreneur, but she might need to start braiding some hair.
Listen, at night.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
It definitely helps. I have a really good friend who actually makes really good money. makes six figures, mm-hmm. but came out of divorce.
Six figures?
Mm-hmm. Love throwing out there. Y'all What's love throwing this? These six figures out there. Y'all not, it's friend. 2023. These six figures ain't getting you nowhere, okay? You don't have the right six figures, okay?
All right, so she makes six figures.
And okay. So, yes, makes six figures. Ooh. Has a
Every time you say it, I get
has
excited.
Has a great job.
Okay, good job.
But went through a divorce. Right. And came out on the paying end of the divorce.
Oh,
look at your face.
The husband done came up. It was worth it for him.
First of all, it's a him. My friend is a him.
Okay.
And so she came up.
Ah.
Okay. But in addition to that, he was prepared for that. Right. Okay. But what he wanted to take care of for himself is there was a lot of debt that came through the marriage and he wanted to get out from under that.
Sexually transmitted debt.
And it was the worst kind.
Yeah.
But he wanted to come out from under that because he wanted his new life to be, he wanted to be for the streets. And you need a little bit of money to be for the streets.
Yeah,
but
streets cost.
The streets cost a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And so he started driving Uber.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
At night, dad got kids, got a real job,
What's
make good money,
that?
And doesn't feel any type of way about when she got them kids and I'm sitting in the house not doing anything. I can drive Uber for a couple hours and make some money.
Can I just tell you, I worked two jobs from 17 to 25. I worked one job from 25 to, I'm going to say 32. But I've been working two jobs ever since.
First of all, you
I got
more
three
than two jobs.
Jobs right
you
now.
Have several jobs right
yeah.
now.
Ain't nothing wrong with working more than one job, B.
Facts.
Nothing
Facts,
wrong with it. 100%. Never killed anybody.
It definitely didn't. But you got to figure out ways to bring in more money. And there are other like smaller ways, right? So can you sell some stuff?
Mm.
Are there things that are in your house that you can get rid of? When you look outside, do you have three or four cars sitting in your driveway that
right.
like you don't need that you were working on or you were fixing up or like you can sell those cars?
I think you better let it go. Word. Invest in your skills while you're down. Why not come back on top with a new set of skills?
A lot of times, again, you are working, right? So a lot of times the people that we're talking to, you are still working. You're still bringing in income. And at your job, there's probably some workshops. There's some internal continuing education credit, like some sort of something that you could be doing on their dime or YouTube University, reading a book, learning something, making yourself more valuable, if not to your existing organization, to another organization so that you can ask for more money.
Yeah. And then finally, maintain your relationships.
Mm.
Don't just be out there dying on the vine. Like let people know. You never know who might be able to help you. I know your pride might be in the way.
So I did not do this well. I will be honest about that. When I was going through my most difficult time, I did not maintain my relationships. I shut down on everybody. And I just, I think it was, I mean, definitely there was some shame, but I just didn't know what to say, right? People gonna ask you like, how'd you get into this position? I don't even know. Like a lot of things went wrong all at one time.
Yeah.
You know, because I'd been known to work hard and be successful and all these things. So it's very hard to explain to be as down as far as I was. So I just shut down. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't let anybody know what was going on. And it took a lot of work. Well, let me say this. It didn't take a lot of work. It did not take a lot of work for me to get back in a good place with my friends because they loved me. And I think I had a lot of goodwill with them.
Yeah.
But I honestly felt embarrassed that I walked away or stepped away the way that I did. So maintain your relationships, if not only because they can help you, but because we still need each other. Like we're still human beings,
yeah.
right? And so we need human interaction. We need people to love and care about us in whatever way that looks like. And so you're not going to get out of it if you isolate yourself and you're alone.
Yeah. So can we pivot one last time before we
okay.
go?
Pivot away.
Can we talk about what you should do when you get back up on your feet?
Ball.
Because we know it's coming.
Ball out.
So when you get back on your feet, you've got to think back to the financial foundation that everybody needs. And I'm going to walk through it really quickly. Everybody needs to have this thing before you can really start to build wealth again. So number one, you've got to have your emergency savings. Number two, you've got to have a plan for eliminating your credit card debt or your high interest debt. We've talked in the past about the two approaches for paying off debt. There's the snowball method where you start with your smaller debts and work your way up to your bigger debts. Then there's also the avalanche method where you focus on your highest interest rate debt and then work your way down to your lowest interest rate debt. But no matter which approach you take, you've got to figure out a way to get rid of those high interest debts. So we talked about savings. We talked about paying off those debts. Number three, we've got to get meaningfully back into paying for our retirement, saving for retirement. And if you used to do 5 to 6%, and now you've had a couple years out of the game,
you got to catch up.
You might need to do 15-20%, but you got to catch up. And then finally, make sure you've got insurance in place. life insurance if you've got children or a loved one that's depending on you financially, disability insurance to protect your income to make sure that this sort of bad thing doesn't happen again.
So I think we gave it a lot of information, and I hope you guys walk away feeling hopeful. I know it feels super bleak when you are in a dark financial time, but there are ways for you to get out of it. There's a lot of opportunity around you, even though it may not feel like it. There's a lot of decisions that you can make to make things a little bit easier for you, because honestly, that's really all you can ask for on a daily basis, for things to just get a little bit better every single day.
Yeah, just remember that, you know, you have grace.
Yeah.
Right? The debt's paid, maybe not financially, but, you know, the good Lord is not looking down on you and is upset with you. Like, it's not, you're not being punished. You're just going through it. And we all go through it. Yeah. We all go through ups and we go through downs. But if the good Lord keeps giving you new days, then you've been blessed with a new opportunity to get it right.
So I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boone.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Moment in time. Moment.